Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and cleanse for himself an acceptable people pursuing good works. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today, the Holy Family is presented to us in this episode of the Gospel of our Lord's circumcision. Indeed, we can say that the circumcision of our Lord was a liturgical act because it was a public one. It was a fulfillment of the precept of the old law that had been given by God to Abraham. So even before the Ten Commandments, this precept of circumcising the males was given by God to Abraham. And this event for our Lord occurs 8 days after his birth, and thus concludes, it closes the octave of Christmas today. And in submitting to this legal requirement of the Old Testament, our Lord accepts the act as one of obedience rendered to his Father. And at the same moment that he accepts it, it is abolished. This circumcision that was prescribed by God to Abraham was, so to speak, a mark. It was a sign that one was, in fact, a son in the spiritual generation of Abraham, who was a son sharing the same faith in the Messiah to come as Abraham. It was a sign of this fidelity to God, that God could not deceive, and that one had an obligation to hold true to the promise of God. And it was also a sign of a circumcised heart, one that was exposed to this obedience to God, this love of God ultimately, and the, let's say, the casing of selfishness removed, in such a way that true sons of Abraham were those that were not only circumcised in the flesh, but also had his faith in this Messiah to come. But our Lord's circumcision is also the naming ceremony, when his name that has been given by heaven is now proclaimed publicly, you may say, outside of the family circle. The child would be given the name of the family normally, particularly that of the father's name. We see that in the example with the birth of St. John the Baptist. When it's time to name him, his mother says his name will be called John. And his father, who had been made mute by God for his disbelief, writes it out, saying this is what he is to be called. And it's only then that he's able to speak once again. Because the family was in something of a disbelief. How can you name him John? That is not the name of your husband. That is not the paternal name. It was something of the father's inheritance, passed to the son. And obviously our Lord is not named Joseph. But this new name is given. It's the name given by heaven, indicating his divine mission. Something that begins, in a certain sense, today, because of this public character of this event. How providential, as I went to vest for this Mass, to see the artistic design involved in the vestment preparation. Behold, I make all things new, was what was written out. And indeed, this event of something given by Abraham, one of the patriarchs of the Old Testament, is made new and at the same time abolished. Because this feast marks the first shedding of the precious blood of our Lord. And we all know that that one drop would have been sufficient to redeem the world. In fact, we may be so bold to say that even one prayer of our Lord would have been sufficient to result in the redemption of mankind. And yet we know that he was not satisfied with this. Yes, it could have accomplished the redemption, but would it have won the hearts of men? And that's why he goes so far as his bloody passion and crucifixion. And we see in this event today, this circumcision, we see how our Lord reserves for himself this painful act, this painful part, which opens for us an easy road. It opens this easy path of salvation for us, because he reserves to himself this blood of the circumcision and of the cross later on. Generally speaking, our entrance at infancy was one quiet and without being asked when we were made Catholics at our baptism. As adults, however, and that by that we may say anyone who's received the sacrament of confirmation, as adults we are asked every day, and sometimes at very short intervals throughout that day, to ratify our entrance into that church, to ratify our entrance with our blood, though it not be physical, though it not be coming forth from our veins. Because today this infant, this divine infant, this circumcised infant, looks at every one of us and says, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. We can never forget that our Lord, as I have said, has reserved these painful elements to himself in order to make the road easier for us. And yet how often we can complain that our cross is not made of styrofoam, that our cross doesn't have wheels that pulls along right behind us. Today also, Our Lady wishes to receive us, at the beginning of this new year, the beginning of this calendar year. And that should be something for our consideration as a New Year's resolution, perhaps, of enrolling ourselves in the school of the Immaculate Heart of Our Lady. And her school is always going to be that of her sons. And this event, this feast of his circumcision, is something of a school of suffering. How our Lord, being God, had no sin, and yet, in the exchange made between accepting our humanity in order to give us something of his divinity, he accepts this suffering, though it is not due to him. It is not out of punishment. And this school of suffering is something that she, Our Lady, wishes to communicate to us. Because it is safe to say that she knew suffering, though she may never shed a drop of blood in her life. Just as our Lord tells us in the Gospel, "Learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart." So she says to us from the beginning of this year, to learn of her, to learn of her Immaculate Heart, to learn of her school, which is always one of the cross of her Son. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.